This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Kim on a whim.
Usually if you hear about somebody graduating with honors, getting a scholarship to a great university, it's fair to assume that that person is likely above average in just about every subject. Would
Should
you agree
be.
With that? Should be.
I would think that's the goal, right? You're awarding them, rewarding them for something.
Right. There's a 19-year-old who graduated with honors from Hartford Public High School in Connecticut. Her name is Alicia Ortez. Well, she got a scholarship to UConn, which is very exciting, but now she's suing her school district because turns out after 12 years of public education, Mark, she can't read or write.
What?
Cannot read or write. Not from the United States initially. Mother brought her over when she was young, I believe. And you're thinking right now, as I was, well, how did she get through class? Listen, there's a report, and this reporter is talking with this girl. Listen to this.
President Zelensky,
when she was in early education,
they would just either tell me to stay in a corner and sleep, or just draw pictures, flowers for them.
And when she was in high school, she relied on speech-to-text programs and other apps to read and write essays.
Is
wow.
that not nuts? So, and there's, I didn't want to play the audio because when you're listening to it, obviously you see the video. And so they're saying, oh, look at this, check this out. And so it's not the best for radio. But basically, that's what she would do is there are apps that I didn't even know about where if I held it over something, it would essentially scan a picture of it and then it would read to me what it says. And same for her. She would just voice what she wanted for, say, a paper that she had to write for one of her classes. And then that would type it up. You know, it would put it out there for her and she would turn that in. And somehow that was enough. And this girl, because the question, of course, you should ask is, well, is this really the girl's fault because she should have spoken up about it, or was it on the teachers? Well, this girl says, my mom went to the school multiple times and expressed concern about my lack of ability to read or write and basically was dismissed. How do you graduate with honors if you can't read or write?
So I have a few questions here. Number one, what responsibility does the mother play in all of this upon learning at some point that her child can't read or write? Instead, she's... Now, the school has most of the blame here, but at some point the parent goes and gets the child some tutoring or something and assumes there must be a problem if you've gotten to your senior year in high school and you can't read or write, right?
Yes.
So some responsibility has to fall on the mom's shoulders.
I agree.
Number two, I have a family member who used to teach in a couple of local districts. And told me many years ago, probably 15 years ago in one district she worked in, that problem children would just be pushed on to the next grade. Whether they passed the requirements for the reading level of that grade or not, the teachers didn't want to deal with them, and they just pushed them on through to the next grade. It was the unwritten policy in their district at the time to basically do this. Nobody talked about it, but how many of those kids ended up graduating and couldn't read or write at a fourth grade level? I mean, it's amazing.
It's terrible. The mom of this girl apparently doesn't speak much English. She's originally from Puerto Rico. But I agree with you that I think that some of the responsibility falls onto the mom. I don't know what her financial situation was, if she couldn't afford a tutor, but certainly there would be some way to set that up. If it's a public school district, wouldn't there be a tutor included where if she needed the extra help, they would have had access to those resources?
Yeah. And, you know, she said they told her to go sit in a corner. There is no way that we have to assume 15 or 20 teachers over the course of her career there didn't realize that she had a problem. I mean, How is that a thing?
I don't know, because nowadays they have that ESL, which is English as a second language, and so there's special attention given to those students who their native tongue is not English, and help them, I assume,
but
specifically with reading and writing.
Language.
She can,
she
as you heard her, yeah, you can absolutely understand her. And it's really sad. I mean, you talk about the reading levels, and you and I have discussed this on the show, Mark, about here in Missouri, the reading skills have continued to drop, and this is not just from COVID. It certainly did not help. There was probably a drastic drop from COVID, but this has been a downward trend for years. Listen to this. So this is an article that came out this year, January of this year. It says in Missouri, 27% of fourth grade students and 26% of eighth grade students scored proficient and above, which means they've mastered essential reading skills. That's down from more than 33% in 2019. But still, only 33% have essential reading skills for fourth grade and eighth grade? This isn't some above and beyond, like you're writing poetry and you're, you know, this is just, they're saying mastered essential reading skills.
This is why you need competition for your public schools. And every teacher that's listening to the sound of my voice this morning knows that is the God's honest truth. There is no accountability in these public schools in many cases. And if with a wink and a nod, somebody like this can get pushed through 12 grades and nobody cared enough to single that student out and help, you know that's part of the problem. If that mother at some point had the opportunity to take her child and put her in a different school with different standards, then eventually the enrollment would dwindle to the point that they would have to fix the system. Right now, there's zero pressure on the public schools to fix the system.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody attends the school board meetings. The teachers' unions only care about the next raise in many cases, and they're the ones electing people to the school boards, which we have a big election coming up in April.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to have more of those candidates on in the next coming weeks. But there's a lack of interest mm-hmm. in what's going on inside of the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Lack of attention to detail.
I wholeheartedly agree. People don't understand the importance of some of these smaller elections, the ripple effect that this can have if you're not actually showing up to the polls and deciding who's going to sit on these school boards. You know, the article I'm referring to right now and the news story I played for you earlier talks about the racial disparities and how women are more likely to have, you know, not as high of reading and writing skills. And this article, which, by the way, I should mention, is NPR. That tells you everything you need to know.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
But I trust the statistics as far as like only 22% and 37%. But then listen to this. It says racial disparities also persist for math and reading scores. In fourth grade reading, black students in Missouri scored 32 points lower than white students. Hispanic students scored 18 points lower. Economically disadvantaged students scored 29% lower than their peers who were not disadvantaged. Now, I don't know how they determined if you're not disadvantaged. I guess if you're white, I guess that's their line right there.
Economic disadvantage, it's because of the color of your skin.
It must be. It seems like that might be it. I'm not really sure how they go about that.
This is the thing another thing that sticks in my craw about the people on the left side of the political spectrum who are opposed to vouchers, who are opposed to letting you port your education money to the place where your child can get the best education. The people impacted by that the most are the ones you claim to care about the most, which are the poor and disadvantaged. They're trapped in school districts if they don't have the economic means to change addresses and move to a different district. That's where their disadvantage is. And it will follow that child the rest of their life. And yet, you're too tied up in your union membership or whatever it happens to be to not want to allow those tax dollars to be ported.
Mm-hmm.
You could make the difference in the life of a child. A little bit of competition would make a sea change in the world of education.
I agree. Is there a big concern among teachers that they'll lose their jobs because they're worried that the schools'
numbers would drop?
Right, that they wouldn't have enough funding to basically stay open, or they'd either have to drastically cut staff or just straight up close the school altogether.
Yeah, well, I mean, it might be a little painful for a few years.
But pruning is a process that is necessary. Pruning is not something that's easy and enjoyable, but pruning is absolutely necessary if you want to advance. If you want to get better, you have to go through that painful process.
My mom was a teacher. A lot of my aunts, a lot of my friends are in education. I get that. I'm not saying we're trying to hurt. It's not about trying to hurt public schools. It's about trying to get their attention and get them back to focusing on what's important.
Mm-hmm.
Not pronouns, math and writing, reading, the basics that we've so moved away from that. It's a sad state of affairs. There's no doubt about that at all.
Get more at 971talk.com.